Well, good morning again. I like these parables, don't you? They're stories that give you a spiritual mind. They're also ones that would give moral. And like I told you last week, the teaching changed in Jesus' time. When he originally was telling that he was the Son of God and he was being denied by the religious leaders, later he changed his stories to be like stories with hidden meanings. And they didn't understand. But it's neat as we see that when the disciples didn't understand, they asked Jesus to explain those. Isn't that kind of neat? You know, if you're discipling somebody, isn't it neat that you see them in the week or whatever, and they say, you know, I was reading this passage. Can you tell me what it means? Got to be kind of ready, don't we? And here it's just easily kind of explained. Parables have that little thing where they're supposed to make is something that's a little complex, very clear. We're supposed to try to help understand Jesus' teaching. It answers some questions we might have. But in all of these, there is a responsibility that we have. And if you want to dig deep into the parables, you need to find out what that responsibility is. You always need to know the content. There's a lot of times scripture gets mixed up because somebody has put a belief to it or a saying, but they don't read the context. Some things are true, but there was a deeper meaning in the context. Remember the verse when what? Two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the what? Now, we know that's true. But in the context, there was conflict going on. And the real understanding was that when you in a church are having problems with each other, brothers and sisters in Christ, don't think that God doesn't know, because he's what? He's in the midst. He knows it. And sometimes when we know certain things, or if we thought that way, maybe we'd think a different way. Or maybe in a conflict, we try not to have conflict, and we'd have a resolution in some way because we're trying to show that Christian love. And we would act as a people a lot differently, wouldn't we? So always try to figure out where that's being said and how it's being said. So the one is to know the context. There needs to be a curiosity. How many of you have a curiosity of the scripture? What does it mean? What is it telling me? You ever get excited about the Gospels? You ever get excited about God? Remember when you first found out what Jesus had done for you, that he saved you from your sin? You were a little excited, weren't you? And sometimes in our Christian life, we kind of get settled and we lose that enthusiasm. I know one person will know. Remember one of the first times I came here and I said that we were going to taste some ice cream, some spiritual ice cream. Remember that time? But we all like ice cream. We were going to taste God's word. And the scripture tells us to taste God's word because it's what? You can look them up. It's good. It's good for us. There's nothing more calming, more true to us, for us in our faith, than to share scripture. But it must be with context. It must be in love. And it has to have that curiosity of what is God saying. Then, as you study the scripture, you live the scripture, it affects the way you what? Live. Or should, right? And that's part of this message as he gives it. There's a difference in a Christian loving God and knowing what he's done for you than somebody just being religious. We were talking a little bit about that even just before the service. There's a difference between somebody trying to be good, do good, and think they've arrived, than knowing that Christ took care of us in our sinful state, nothing we could do, but by his mercy and grace, which is part of the big part about the Lutheran faith, is God's grace. No matter what you've done, no matter how you've lived, And no matter what you do today, the grace of God is sufficient to what? Forgive me for my sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us for the sins last month. Is that right? Forgive us for our sins before, but we're responsible for the ones now. No, to forgive us from what? All sin. So when we realize where we were before, and when we mess up this week, God's grace is what? Sufficient to handle that, and he's already taken care of it. Now, we get to the story. The sower. Who's the sower? He gave you the answer. The sower is what? The Son of Man. The Son of Man is God, Jesus. And when they went out to the field, he sowed good seed. There are those that heard the gospel, the seed of the gospel, responded. Remember, we had different places last week where some people heard it. They were interested in it. They didn't really understand it and kind of went away. There's others that received it, and as soon as they got all excited about the gospel, wanted to know more, Satan came in and stole them away. There was others that started to go and was faithful, was walking in the Lord. They might have been going to church. And then all of a sudden, life got rough. The storms of life came, and they couldn't grasp and hold. But there was some that fell on good soil. So he planted good seed. And something happened. After the seed had been planted, there's somebody who came in at night in darkness. And what did they do? They planted what? Weeds. Now, if you go deeper and look at the context, you'll find out the type of weed and the type of wheat that grew looked very similar. And if you keep going, you find out that when the harvest was getting ready, the wheat would get heavy, the head of the wheat would get heavy, and it'd end up bowing down. But the weed stood straight up. I thought that was kind of interesting. In my opinion, not that it says in the scripture, but I thought, isn't it neat that as Christians grow in Christ, we stop standing on our own and we bow down. That's how I thought of it. I looked at it and I thought, we are less of us, and when we are full in Christ, we know what he has done. We exalt the name of Jesus, and we bow down as we grow in Christ. But the weed didn't bow down. The weed stood straight up. And you remember the devil, how he was. And you go into the Psalms, and the one Psalm is, I think it's interesting sometimes that when we hear politicians or we hear people and we're talking to them, it's interesting to see as you talk to people and get to know them, is it more about I or is it more about we or in a spiritual sense when you're talking with somebody, let me tell you what God has done for me today. And God watches over his own. I found that out on Monday. I never expected something to happen. And then, you know, all I could tell the police officer, he said, explain what happened. I said, boom. That's all I could explain. Airbag went off on the side. I can't see outside. I didn't even know if it was safe to walk out of my car. My car stalled out. I didn't know if I was going to be able to get it off the road. I got people in back of me impatient. Beep, 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 beep. Get out of the way. It started up, and I was able to pull it off to the side. And then when you look at what happened afterwards, you say, you know, that was God, because I was able to walk away. Did you get a little sore? Well, part of that could be old, and some of it could have been from the accident. I said, I went to a car dealership to go get a new car. They had three stories, and the third story is where they sell the car. And I wonder how people get up there. I walked all three flights, and I thought, oh, my knees hurt. And I said, well, that's either because I'm old or my knees got a little hurt maybe in there and a little sore. I found out later they had an elevator. But I wanted you to know that in this situation, in the field of this earth, there are Christians, and you are called the salt of the earth, the preservator. You are called the light which shines from the darkness. And there are Christians, but there is also those who do not know Christ. And there are some that have are enemies of Christ. Anybody run into an enemy of Christ in their Christian walk? Somebody want evil for you or say something wrong for you or just, you just feel it. You ever feel the presence of evil? Just as you might feel the presence of the Lord? It's interesting, the disciples wanted to know, kind of give me the context, give me the understanding of this. And our Master Jesus is their teacher. What a wonderful teacher. And he explains it. Now, I thought of Peter, because Peter seems to be more outspoken of the disciples and impulsive. But then there were those that were called the sons of thunder. John was the same way. You know, they were impulsive. They would say what they thought. And here it says then, well, if we have weeds, what should we do with weeds? Huh? Pull them out, right? That's what we would all say. Get rid of them. Use that real toxic chemical and spray it on them and kill them. I mean, I had to watch it when my daughter used to go ahead and you'd say, well, we got to pull some weeds out of the garden. And then you go out and the weeds were there, but the things that were the plants were gone. Ever have something like that happen? So that little story with the disciples was, we have to be very careful about just going in there and yanking up the weeds. Remember, I told you, they looked very similar. And there's a couple of things in regards to that. One is God's grace. And then there's the other, that there is a time where judgment comes. One is there was a time that you were a weed. Did you know that? You were lost in your sin. You were an enemy of God. You might have tried to please him, or maybe you just went through the motions, but you hadn't made a defining decision that I want to follow Christ because he washed my sins away. There was a time. And aren't you glad that somebody didn't just come along and say, weed, weed. Aren't you glad? So I think that's one part of the story, is that God is saying, wait, we don't know when they mature what we're going to be dealing with. And in time, there is a time where it will be answerable. We will know. Now, there are some weeds that look very much like a Christian. And we may have a weed here today. Oh, look around. Where's the weed? Looks like a Christian. They may act like a Christian. They may go to church, they may do good things, but they have never trusted God. They're a weed. And I think one of the things that God was saying to his disciples, let's wait till harvest time comes. When harvest time comes, we will tell what is wheat and what is weeds. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, and you may live the long time, but God is waiting for the day where he will have his judgment and he will call the wheat home. And it could happen in our lifetime. As much evil is in the world, it could be today that Jesus calls, it doesn't say, is catch up or rapture the church. And if you're trusting in God and Jesus Christ, you would be one with the wheat. And it's judgment time, and you are to be harvested. But at the same time, there's a harvesting of the weed. And the weed will be pulled, and the weed will have no more chance. Today might be the last time that you hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you either go and leave this place in confidence that one day you will be with him and have the splendors of heaven that is listed in Revelation chapter 20 and 21. Or you will walk away and go out these doors and say, I refuse the message still, and he may call you and harvest today. And just as much as there is a heaven, there is a hell. And he says, those weeds will be harvested, but put on what? A pile to be burned. There is no more chances. The devil very creatively did what? He came at night and figured nobody's looking, put the weeds in there, and now we're confused because we don't know who's what. The other thing that that's teaching us in the context is guess who's not the judge? You and me. We're not to judge. Our life is very simple. Our relationship is a personal relationship, yes? And so the examination of the heart is you and God. Before you come to this table and join communion with us and have this feast, before you come, it says in Corinthians, examine yourself. If you're not doing what God wants you to do and you're separated from God in some way, ask for forgiveness before you come to the table. You have something wrong with a brother and sister in Christ, and you need to get it right. Get it right before you come to church on Sunday and come for this feast. It's your responsibility, a personal responsibility of your own to God. Therefore, it is not our responsibility to judge who? Others. See, a lot of churches will take a vice or problem and say, you know what? I'm just using an example. You don't have anything to go into. And say, you do this. We saw you do that. Therefore, you're sinning. And make a judgment. And God has said to us in context, that's not for you to judge. James says, if you are convinced and convicted it's a sin, it's a what? It's a sin. But who did the convicting? You? No, when God convicts you that something isn't right, then you need to get it right with who? With God, not somebody else here. It's a personal walk, a personal life with Christ. Now, you know if you've accepted the message of salvation. You know if there's a time in your life that it came clear and that you needed a Savior. Even Mary said she recognized that when she was told that she was pregnant. You look at Mary's prayer in Luke. We need a Savior. You know that you're a sinner. And you know if you accepted Jesus' work on the cross, and only you know. It's between you and God. I don't know. And Billy Graham used to say, after he preached one sermon and never gave an altar call, he said that he would never do it again because he was worried that there might be somebody coming to those things or coming to a church and they never heard the gospel. He wanted to make sure everybody who was at his services heard the gospel. But nobody can force you to accept it. You have to accept it. And so even in the church today, there may be people that have gone through the motions, but don't have a personal relationship. And that's the weed. But harvest hasn't come yet. So the time that we might see more wheat. Your responsibility is to examine your character, your witness for the Lord, your commitment and love for the Lord. And as you walk, walk within the Word and with the Lord. And show Christ's love, not, you know, we were talking about this today, and we talk about it more than once. Those visiting, those attending, this is a church that loves people. They just welcome you. If you're visiting, I hope that somebody's already shook your hand, gave you a hug, or wanted to find out who you were. This is one place that welcomes you. We're not perfect, but we are in Christ. And I'm glad he looks at the finished work, not what we are every day. He looks already. God looks at us in Jesus. So our job is to simply live the best life we can in Christ. Don't judge others. If you want to do the judging, examine yourself. And folks, nobody promised a rose garden without weeds. There's weeds out there. So as you tread through, don't get your foot or thorn in it. Just travel through. Harvest time is going to come. And that's God's work to have performed the harvest. Our job is to help keep on planting and fertilizing so we have more wheat. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Seems like simple parables, and it seems like we should understand. But we pray that you will help us judge less and live closer to thee. And let us, when we think of coming to the table and breaking the bread and drinking the wine, that this is the one that loved me so much, he gave himself and he washed all my sins away. May we rejoice more as we come today, knowing how he loved us, and in return, we love him. Help us in life to keep humble and bowed down instead of raising ourselves up. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.